If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and we are thankful that you have tuned in today. We're going to be returning to Daniel chapter 2 as we are going through that particular chapter. And we have been talking about that Daniel was encouraging Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be seeking the mercies of God, that God would be moved with compassion on their part because they had a death sentence over their head. I want you to know that whatever man has sentenced you to do, or, you know, like they sent John to the Isle of Patmos, he had one job: die. That was what his job was. Jesus said, I've got one thing for you, John, and that is I'm going to give you a revelation there that is going to impact the nations for thousands of years to come. I've got a higher purpose for you than man does. And so Daniel comes back and he says, we need to seek the mercies of God, that God would be moved with compassion on our part so that we can serve the king the way that he needs to be served. Doesn't matter if it's a demand that has never been asked before and that others are deeming impossible. With God, all things are possible. I worked for a guy one time, and he told me, he said, through the years, I have had a number of people that when I told them my dreams, they said, what you're talking about is impossible. It can't be done. And he said, and the very first thing that I would do is I would go out and do what they said was impossible to do. That guy built a little country rural church into a ministry that touched the community. It touched the prison. It touched all a number of communities in the area. And he did it all in a place where people were constantly saying, you know, what you're talking about can't be done. Today we are going to return to Daniel chapter 2. By the way, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and we would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing. We are in a position of transition as my daughter has got married, so ministries are kind of shuffling around and personnel are being reallocated, but we believe that our best days are in front of us, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. Daniel chapter 2. Verse number 26 is where I'm going to begin reading. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. I want you to know that's the second time he has made that statement to him. He says in verse number 28 that God, there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has revealed to you what will be in the latter days. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, in that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly of and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. you watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And when wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the birds of the heavens, or the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, is inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of the kings of heaven, And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate or the king's court or the court of the king. He said in the gate of the king or the court of the king. So let's go back here, because now we've had Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they have been seeking the mercies of God, and God answers their prayer, and they end up having the dream. Daniel gets the dream and he gets the interpretation, and he goes to the king to deliver what has been told to him by God. In verse number 29, like I said, there is a second mention that God is the one who reveals secrets, and that he had made known to Nebuchadnezzar what was coming. Okay? I want you to understand that the Bible talks about the plans of God. When we talk about Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you," we need to understand that there is a plan. And the Bible says specifically about the plans of men that you can make those plans, but those plans may not come to pass. The devil has plans for you, and we definitely don't want those plans to come to pass. But about God's plan, it says that his plans will not be thwarted. His plan of redemption, his plan of deliverance, his plan of preparing a place that where you and I are going to spend forever with him, his plan of triumphing once and for all over evil, those plans are never going to be disrupted. They are not going to be thwarted. There's a passage in the scripture that talks about, for lack of a better term, I'm going to use the term demonic activity that was designed to interrupt God's plan. And as a result of them trying to circumvent God's plan, abandoning their position and trying to disrupt God's redemptive plan, they are now removed from access to humanity because God's plans will not be thwarted. They're just awaiting eternal assignment of a very unpleasant destination. It's already bad, and it's going to get worse because God's plan will not be thwarted. Pharaoh had a plan to wipe out the people of God, and God said, no, that is not my plan. My plan is to deliver them. And God's plan would not be thwarted by any of the gods of Egypt, not by Pharaoh, not by Pharaoh's army. If he has to part the Red Sea to get the children of Israel across, leave it parted long enough for the Egyptian army to go into the middle of the sea, and then once they are there, have the sea collapse upon them because the wheels of their chariots fall off without explanation, you can rest assured God's plan will not be thwarted. When Haman decides that he is going to try and disrupt God's plan and have all of the children of Israel exterminated at the king's command, God miraculously intervenes through Esther and Mordecai because God's plan will not be thwarted. When Herod finds out that Jesus, the Messiah, has been born and he orders the annihilation of every child 2 years old and under, God still miraculously made a way of escape because his plans will not be thwarted, and he has never been outwitted by the enemy yet. The Bible talks about that in this spiritual chess match, if you will, that there is a person that gets outwitted, but it's never God. It's always Satan. And in fact, it says that if Satan had known what God had planned through raising Jesus from the dead, that Satan would have changed his plan and never crucified him. Okay? God has a plan. He makes his will known to human beings. Do you know that the Bible says that God doesn't do anything without revealing it first to the prophets? Okay, so I have this statement. I said one of the differences between the devil and God is the devil does not fully disclose his plan because he knows that if he fully disclosed it, you would never want to have anything to do with it. And so he gets you to bite into his plan or to buy into his plan and act upon his plan, and then he goes, surprise, death trap. And all of a sudden, you're left dealing with the consequences. Okay? God says this. This is what my plan is. And there's not a power on earth nor a power in hell that is going to be able to prevent it from coming to pass. And you can take that to the bank. So God, through Daniel, is telling Nebuchadnezzar he's got a plan. And he wants you to know the plan. Okay? He says, but as for me, he said, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. So Daniel says, God has revealed to us what he revealed to you. He did it for our sakes so that we could communicate to you, and that you may know what the meaning of the dream is. And he starts off in talking about that he saw a great image and that it was awesome. And, you know, it was gold and silver and bronze and iron, and then a mixture of iron and clay. And he watches as this impressive statue is struck by a massive stone that destroyed the image. The image was completely decimated, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Do you know that Jesus said this about the end times? He said, the end will not come until we've taken the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the ends of the earth. You know why? Because it doesn't matter where mankind is. That man is trapped in his sin. He's dead in his trespasses and sins. And God wants him to know that there's a Savior. And so God wants the kingdom of God to reach people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. I taught church history. I loved history in school, and I got to love teaching church history. I believe that if we learn from history, that we can be inspired by history. There was a particular man who took a missions journey. Now, I want you to understand that missionaries back around the turn of the century, not this last century, but the one before that, that Assemblies of God missionaries, when they would go to the foreign field, they would pack all of their belongings into a very limited size container. The container they used wasn't a suitcase. It wasn't a steamship trunk that's so popular or anything like that. It wasn't a shipping container. What they used to pack their belongings in was a casket. Because whenever they went to the mission field, they fully expected that they were going to be giving their full life to communicating the gospel to whatever field that they went to. There was this missionary, wasn't an Assembly of God missionary, but he went to a particular island and he ministered for over two decades. And upon his death, they commemorated his life with this statement: when he arrived, there were no Christians. When he arrived, there were no Christians. When he died, there were no heathen. He touched an entire island with the love of Jesus Christ in such a manner that God expanded the kingdom of heaven in every individual's heart and life. What a glorious testimony. If God could do that through a person who was completely available to God, then what is he capable of doing through you and I now? You see, the ends of the earth are not just foreign lands, but they are also America. America is one of the least reached people groups and becoming more challenging to reach with every passing year because people love darkness. I'm not talking about an absence of luminescence. I'm talking about they love spiritual darkness. And yet God has still positioned you and I in so that the rock, Jesus Christ, can continue to decimate world systems so that the kingdom of God replaces it and it fills the whole earth. And Daniel says in verse number 36, this is the dream. It's the dream. He says, that was only part of what you asked for. You also asked for the interpretation. Here's the interpretation. He says, the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over all, over them all. You are this heart or head of gold. Okay? The interpretation is this: God has entrusted you with authority. There is no such thing in the kingdom of God as a self-appointed authority. Anybody who is an authority unto themselves is deceived. I am not a dictatorial authority at Meritus Assembly of God. I am a pastor. I am the under-shepherd, and the chief shepherd is named Jesus. But in between there, I also have a general superintendent. I have a district superintendent. I have a presbyter. I have a board at the church, and all of them God uses to keep me accountable. I always say this: if you find someone who has no accountability over them, they have no authority over them, they are not submitted to anyone, put some distance between that person and yourself, because that's a very dangerous situation. Daniel is telling the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar as a way of humbling him. He says, King, you have been given universal rule. You have been given an expansive kingdom. Your authority touches the animals in the field and the birds of the air. You have been given a great deal of authority by God. Okay? That's the humbling part. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar tends to hear about all of his accomplishments as an individual. He doesn't necessarily hear so much that it all came from him after God. There's a very interesting statement in verse number 39 right after that, and it says this: but after you. But after you. Okay? King, this is where you are right now, but there is going to come a time where things change and you are no longer going to be on the scene. I talked to a person and they said, we just figured we were going to live forever. We made no preparation for whatever would come to pass after us. We gave no consideration that there was ever going to come a time where we weren't as we had always been. And I said, but you've been to so many funerals. Okay? If I can be a pastor here for just a moment, let me just make a simple observation to you. The Bible says that is appointed unto man once to die and then comes to judgment. We know that at some point in time there's going to be a rapture of the church. We need to be ready for that, whether that's today or some other day in the future. You're getting out of this world one way or the other. One person put it this way. He said, you ain't getting out of this thing alive. Well, you know, there are going to be a few people who are spared that when Jesus appears again. Whenever that is, be ready. Be ready. And so we need to realize our own mortality. I'm not making this a negative declaration. I'm just making a general observation. Due to the date on my driver's license that indicates the date that I was born, I am probably closer to my last breath than I am to my first breath. Now, God could cause medical breakthroughs and I could live to be 200. I could be on the radio until 2150 or something like that. If I could put two sentences together, that would be amazing. And the fact that radio is still available back then. This is the 432nd anniversary of the Refresh Radio. Have you given any consideration? What are you going to do to prepare yourself for the fact that you are mortal? There's another question that I want to ask, and that is this. What are you doing to prepare, in Nebuchadnezzar's case, his kingdom for what comes after him? I encourage the people of our church, hey, make sure that if something does happen to you unexpectedly, that your family is taken care of after you. I had a relative. She was in church one Sunday night, and she sang a song about heaven. And she turned to the pastor, and she handed him the microphone, and immediately heaven became a reality in her life. Heaven is not a place to be dreaded. Heaven is a wonderful place. I just want to make sure that you've given some consideration. What's coming in the future? Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, look, there's never going to be a kingdom that resembles your kingdom ever again. It's going to be inferior to whatever you have built here. But what about what's coming after you? I've been the pastor of Meredith Assembly of God for 28 years. I don't even remember how many pastors there were before me. But from the very first day that I came, I said, I know what I want, should the Lord tarry. I know what I want Meredith Assembly of God to look like after I've served here. Whether it was 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, it's been 28 and a half years. What does it look like? I want it to look better than it did when I found it. What does the future look like? Do you want your children being in bondage to the same things that have held you captive, or do you want them walking in the freedom of the Lord? If that's the future that you want, if you want them to know Jesus better than you've known them, that's my goal. I want my kids to be able to do more for the kingdom of God than what I've been able to do. Then give some thought to this statement. What does it look like after me? What do I need to do now so that I can make sure that my family, my kids, my community is set up to succeed after me? God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I would like to walk this world with you always. Never want to be apart from you, oh Lord. I am sometimes overwhelmed by truth and your ways. Now could it be that I was made for you?